Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep.
In the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, brought to you for your listening pleasure and that of the intelligence resources that are working for organized crime. Which would include all of them, I think. Just, you know, take a stab in the dark, considering how much organized crime there actually is in the world today, operating right underneath the noses of the people who can listen to anybody warrantlessly and wirelessly without restriction. Somehow they just can't crack them, you know? How did that happen? Maybe it's because, I don't know, they're bound to secret oaths and secret proceedings and so on and so forth. They don't really have to reveal what they're actually doing behind the scenes to keep us safe while they line their own pockets with their scumbaggery. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Your government is controlled by criminals. You know, I'm here to deliver news, you know. I know that's not news. It's that shouldn't be to anybody who's paying attention. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, my very special guest is coming at us from Otago, in a place where I went for a year, never to return. Dunedin, Tatsuhiko Koyama is his name. He's a student at Otago University, but he's also a barrister, a solicitor, but not a practicing lawyer in New Zealand. So he's got a few stories to tell us about corruption in New Zealand and the courts and things of that nature. Tatsuhiko, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinnie.
Well, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Well, I'm a barrister, solicitor of the High Court of New Zealand. I also graduated from a law school in the United States with a Juris Doctor. So I also worked for the multinational company in Japan and for 10 years, and I was part of the legal department. And the companies are huge, over 20,000 employees. I was in charge of the international transactions, compliance, and the product liability litigations. And sometimes I went to the United States because there was some problem happening to one of the subsidiaries. So I've been involved with quite a bit of legal things internationally. And what I found in New Zealand is that this is the most corrupt whatsoever. I never seen anything that level of corruption I have seen anywhere. New Zealand courts are completely corrupt.
There's a hell of a lot of people I would think would agree with you there, or at least only the people who actually know what they're talking about.
Yes, that's good. Those people who have been into court have personally seen the corruption. I show you what the limit of corruptions are. It includes from district court to the Supreme Court, no exception anywhere. And I received from there at least 44 false documents, which have been confirmed by the Ministry of Justice and the court. And it's not like, you know, it's allegation that not found. It's been confirmed. 44. 2 from district court, 31 from the high court, 6 from court of appeal, 5 from the Supreme Court of New Zealand. They all confirmed forged document using the name of judges for fraud. So it's extensive.
So they're making the judgments without even a judge present, and then just signing their name on documents that they've forged and then getting the judgments that they want that way.
You know, forged document, some of them has a false signatures, but some documents have a signature. Even I asked for this copy of the signed document, they won't give it to me. So the some are signed by somebody else, certainly not by the judges, but certainly some didn't even have a document without any signature. And I went to Dunedin High Court to see the file. Some document doesn't even exist. So I gave the document that doesn't even exist in the official file. That's how obvious the forgery is.
It's like you're dealing with Ghostbusters in court or something.
Fact is, some of the documents I received does not exist in the official court file, really proves the fact that they're a forgery. But the point is, they all know this. Government knows this, courts know this, Ministry of Justice knows, police even know this, but they try to cover up. That's the problem in New Zealand.
That all the authorities who are actually supposed to keep the justice system in line are trying to actually cover up for its corruption.
Correct. Even the New Zealand Law Society does it too. But problem is the New Zealand Law Society is the sole exclusive regulator of the legal profession. So that is the only place you can get the practicing license in New Zealand. And that's the only organization there in New Zealand to regulate the legal profession. And they are protecting the criminals in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, so I love that. It's the old fox guarding the hen house thing, isn't it? Because if you've got the Law Society are the only ones essentially who regulate the law and who practices it in New Zealand, and if they're actually in on the corruption, it means that the corruptest rules the land.
The problem is the entire New Zealand is controlled by one organization for lawyers. Now, if you go to court in New Zealand, it's dead end. It's interconnected. From district court to Supreme Court, they will issue your false documents, forge the decisions, or sometimes even steal your money if you come to the court by doing the fake bankruptcy proceedings. And they go to bank, they make you bankrupt, and they even steal the money in the bank. That's a bank robbery by deception. 100% crime. But that's happening in New Zealand.
And this happened to you. They forged documents in your name of a bankruptcy proceeding, and they proceeded to take all the money out of your bank accounts.
They didn't even use my name. They simply went to the they call the insolvency service, insolvency service at the Ministry of Business, Innovation, Employment. That's a government section. They don't even have the court order, so they don't have even document. Then they went to the Kiwi Bank, which is a state bank, and the Kiwi Bank doesn't even seen any court order themselves. They give all the personal, confidential information, customer, and the money in the bank. So if you ask the Kiwi Bank, do you have a copy of the court order? They said no. If you go to insolvency service, they don't have it either. Nobody has the signed order by the high court judge. They simply operate by the network of the criminals stealing money from the bank. And this house that I'm living right now has a a caveat placed on the insolvent service too. Because if they didn't get the money from the bank, they were going to steal the house too. It's a good thing that they didn't do that for the house anyway. But certainly they saw the money in the bank. 100% crime, and they accepted the bank robbery, they accepted the perverting coaches, but nothing happened in New Zealand. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, if the entire justice system that we have isn't actually working, what exactly are we going to do about it? Because this isn't just happening in New Zealand, though. There's criminal syndicates that are running the justice systems in the UK and Canada and Australia and the United States as well, as far as I know. And there's many, many families who've been through just terrible, terrible things at the hands of corrupt judges and court systems and police all working together. It's a global racket, essentially.
Yeah. Yes. Correct. Global racket, yeah. And New Zealand, it seems that there are two forms of corruption. One is a protection racket, that's corruption. Another is called the patron-client relationship, called the clientism. So the lawyers put that there are a leader to the judge, and the leader protects the lawyer. That's a duty, corrupt relationship there is in the court. Because a lawyer become a judge, who's going to send that, make that judge lawyers? Their own gang become the judge. So the system set up in New Zealand create all kinds of relational problems. Nepotism is there, cronyism there. It's just all relationship that keeps that corruption going in New Zealand, in court anyway.
Well, at court's where the rubber meets the road, though, isn't it? Because if you take John Banks, for example, who was a very, very corrupt guy and even admitted, you know, certain crimes and stuff like that he committed to the police, and then got prosecuted, and he had to be prosecuted privately because the Crown wouldn't prosecute him because the Crown's corrupt. And then even after getting convicted, he got all his convictions overturned based upon the testimony of two people who weren't even there when the thing he was convicted for even happened. Right?
Yeah.
Two people who didn't even turn up to court to testify.
Yeah.
Right? Just like it doesn't even make any sense unless the system entirely, all the way to the top is completely corrupt. Now, in such a system, how exactly are we going to enforce any decent law changes or anything to benefit society if there really isn't the right there to actually, you know, somebody to hit the gavel when it's meant to be struck? Yes, he's being hung for treason. Yes, he's going away for prison for 40 years for financial fraud to the tune of billions of dollars. Yes. Away they go. Now, these kind of things are sort of essential for the structure of a civilized society, I would have thought, but apparently not in New Zealand.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. New Zealand is that no rights can be guaranteed or protected because courts are corrupt. It means that, you know, you could be deported next day because you're simply, there's a false document, go to immigration, that's the end of the day in New Zealand. Or you can lose your passport too. Simply there's a false document, go to the internal affairs, and you lose a passport. You cannot go anywhere. I mean, you could lose house, money, passport, or traveling overseas. Anything can happen. Or you can even go to prison. Just because one piece of paper just signed by somebody else or even judge that sends you jail. If you expose corruption, they say they don't like that. Then they might send you jail right away. So organized crime at the judicial system really covers up everything, every entire corruption in New Zealand. And this is the biggest money-grabbing scam in New Zealand. And that nobody here trying to fight it except the few. So that this matter needs to be dealt by the international community. If they accept the forgery, why are those criminals not prosecuted? Why the police are not investigating? why the judges whose name used for the forgery are around the station. This is a problem. It's accepted, confirmed, then investigated, prosecuted. If not, then forget about the rule of law in New Zealand. That's the problem.
We don't have the rule of law in New Zealand. I mean, I see so many things. In fact, oh my God, it reminds me of something a cop told me himself. After the Occupy movement was forcibly ejected, right? I think it was on a weekend when Auckland Central Police, who the week before had issued a statement in the court saying the Occupy protesters were all right, that guy who said that in charge of the Auckland Central Police went on holiday. And then the South Auckland Central Police took over, right? And all of a sudden, all these security guards and cops descended on the Occupy encampment and hauled them all out of there forcibly, completely against the free speech laws and the right to protest and everything that we have here in New Zealand, right? And I was telling a cop about this as we were walking away from the protest site, and I say, does that sound like a free country to you? And he goes, well, what makes you think we live in a free country? You know, so if the cops themselves are starting to, like, even tell people on the street that we're not living in a free country, how long is it going to take the New Zealand people to wake up to how corrupt the power structure truly is in this place? I mean, are we like some kind of South Pacific banana island republic? You know, there's stuff you can get away with in New Zealand that you can't get away with in Nigeria. It's just that bad, man.
Well, I cannot compare with the situation in Nigeria, or I cannot compare with the other Pacific. In New Zealand, the level of the corruption is quite unprecedented in any developed nations. And I understand New Zealand is part of the called developed nations. So it's not a banana republic. It's not a third world country. It is one of the most developed countries in the world. So that's the point. It's not undeveloped country. And that problem is the situation that in the judiciary especially, it is similar to some country like a sub-Saharan African country, some smaller country in Africa. They have the private problem of their clientelism. Patron and the client corruptions and nepotism and the cronyism, those are exactly the same thing you can find in the judiciary. That's the problem.
Mm. Yeah, the nepotism's actually quite bad. I mean, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's rather high of high court judges in New Zealand that are related by blood. And I think, like, it was somewhere around the region of, like, there's 170 judges and 110 of them are related by first cousin at least, or something ridiculous like that, when you're kind of thinking, let's say you want to get a retrial. Who are you going to wind up in front of? Let's say you want to investigate a judge. Which other judge is going to give you a warrant? Let's say you want to fire a corrupt cop or something like that, you know, and so on and so forth. It means that not only is it a sign that there's corruption endemic in the system, but that it's efficient enough at protecting itself from public scrutiny to not even be noticed, despite the size of its operation, despite the blatancy of its scumbaggery.
Correct. It's very correct. The problem mainly deals with the New Zealand media. Media actually cover up the organized crime in New Zealand. So, that's problem. New Zealand media never ever report anything like this. So that's problem. Also, another problem is the false news. For my case, false news was disseminated by one of the New Zealand media called the Staff who is one of the reporters in Dunedin, put the false information. He attended a fake bankruptcy hearing in Dunedin, put the false information to the public. Now everybody accepted the fake news, and the bankruptcy hearing was fake without any judge. But then, has he ever been prosecuted? Or has he ever been investigated by police? None. So the interconnectedness of the corruption goes to police, court, and the media. Media supposed to check the authority and the power in the New Zealand. They are part of the corruption too. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's kind of why I do what I do, because nobody else will do it, as it turns out. If you question authority and hold them to account, ladies and gentlemen, like I have for like the last 10 years or so, you'll find that there's very, very few people there who are willing to dump a whole bunch of money on you. And you'll find that there's a whole bunch of people that'll be there to give you 7 different colors of shit raining down in order to tell you to stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of people who want to do this kind of thing, but it's like, you know, I've got to warn people. This is not an easy job, standing up for justice, standing up for what's right. It's something that will cost you pretty much everything of value, and it'll come to be the only thing that you value. And then when there is a world at some point where there is no corruption, there will no longer be a place for people like me, right?
Well, corruption always exists. And power corrupts the people. Absolute power always absolutely corrupts the people. So the New Zealand, there's absolute power exists. That's where the absolute corruption exists. So the power structure always been corruption. So corruption never ends. The problem here is the judiciary and media, those two groups of people are supposed to check their corruption and check the power of government. They are not doing it. That's the problem in New Zealand.
Yeah. Well, it's got a couple of layers then, because not only can you not really bring something into court because the court's corrupt, you can't bring something to the media to report it to the people because the media's corrupt, and you can't tell the people about it because the people won't believe anything but the media or the courts. Oh my God. That's actually quite a frustrating realization I just put there. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. That's my bad. I do believe that's my bad. Cause in often cases it's not really any laughing matter. Anyway, these particular problems that you've been facing in the New Zealand courts and false bankruptcy and forged documents and all of that kind of stuff, not only have the New Zealand government actually admitted, you know, that of like 20, 30, 40 odd forged documents, right? So it's public record now. Then what is the next step from that? Once you realize that there is in fact something bad going on within a government structure, who is to investigate it? Because the only people who are there to investigate it are the government.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Who do you think?
Yeah, that's the problem. New Zealand is the government knows corruption. Also, the people can ask any of the judges, say, did you write the decision? Your name's in there. And there are about 44 false documents. People can take it to any of the judges, their names on, says, did you write the decision? Did you make the decision? I'm sure judges say, I have not made a decision because it's forgery. That's how obvious it is. I put that on the internet, and there's a fake hearing in the Dunedin High Court. I put that on the internet too. Anyone can hear. The fake death certificate, it's going to be contempt order to record and publish the information on the internet. And it's been there more than a year. I even gave the recording, put in the CD to the police and the Dunedin High Court. Here is the recording of the fake hearing. Listen to it. I gave it to them. They didn't arrest me because they know it's fake. So the contempt order was fake too, because I gave the recording to the High Court and police, and they didn't even bother arresting me. One of the police told me that, you know, don't record my conversation. That's all he said. So that's how bad things are. They know it. Fake hearing, they know that all the forgeries. Only thing that one of the police officer told me was, please don't record conversation between you and I. That's how that things are. They know it. They accept it. And the organized crime is something supported by the government, protected by the police. What can you do in New Zealand?
Well, I got to put that in. It's like we're living in a movie or something like that, you know. This little dude, he like records a conversation of a corrupt police officer and then takes it to another police officer, and that police officer just says, "Nah, I hope you're not recording this conversation." Oh man, it's you got to really bleed for the people in New Zealand. I think it's just they're very, very slow people, and for goodness sake, there's just too much rugby and alcohol. Honestly, I can't compete with that. I mean, really, I'm like sitting here giving people the truth, the very nasty, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad truth that they have to listen to sooner or later, and if they ignore it, it'll only get worse. But over here, we've got alcohol and rugby. Now people are interested. Now people are going to put their whole attention into it. You know, it's going to soak up a decade of their life or something of that nature, just pouring their attention into this while ignoring everything over here, which encapsulate the entirety of human knowledge. What changed everybody's mind? You know, I remember when I was a kid, I was curious about absolutely freaking everything. Everything, you know. Ooh, what's that? What's that? What's that? And then at some point, that changed, didn't it? People stopped getting curious. People stopped thinking like a child. People stopped thinking about things that should make sense. And they start thinking about how many times I have to suffer this indemnity before I actually progress to the next level, right? I think it was like school and education and business, and in every single form of institution that we've gone through has just bred this curiosity out of us and the actual willingness and the desire to talk about things that are real and to do something that matters with our lives. Just been watered down somewhat over the years, I think. And it's something that needs to be revitalized. And I don't know how to do that without people suffering really massively at the hands of their captors. Because nothing will make you hate the New Zealand court system like getting shafted by it.
Right. Yeah, experienced it. At least that I thought the Human Rights Tribunal was a fair place to go. For the human rights violation, the privacy violation. And they issued four decisions without having any hearing. No hearing at all. They issued four decisions. I thought it was human rights tribunal bad, so I went to high court. What happened? Now, I counted this morning 31 false documents from the high court. Wait, now the problem, the human rights tribunal go to high court now. 31 false documents. Five high courts, that's fine. I got two more to go. Court appeal, six false documents from court appeal. Now, there's one more to go. Supreme Court. I went to Supreme Court, five false documents from the Supreme Court. Where to go in New Zealand? That is the highest court in the New Zealand, and they still giving me the forged document, and that is the denying justice, and also crimes committed, so perpetrating course justice, accessory after the fact for covering up the crime. All those crimes are committed right in the court. That's where you're supposed to bring the criminal to prosecute it. No, it's the court. All the organized crime that happened is court in New Zealand. People in New Zealand must know. That's why the organized crimes are really doing their jobs. It's crazy. It shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. Well, it's a psychopathic control network, essentially. So if you've got people who... Well, what was it Frederick Bastiat said? When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men living together in society, they create for themselves through the course of time a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is some people, the law village. Law village consists of the lawyer, judges, and the court officials. They're the village. And their village has a different moral than the people outside the village. So the village must be regulated by the outside people, because village within the people in the village cannot regulate themselves. So they are out of control because there is no one regulating the village, the people in the village. So the problem in New Zealand is everybody knows self-regulation never works. And that is the one of the last profession in this New Zealand has a self-regulation. Same as the United Kingdom too. It's problem of it's called self-regulation, which means no regulation whatsoever. That's the problem.
Well, it certainly worked out well when Wall Street had no regulation. You know? And it also gets down to this point where if we are the corruptest court system in the world in New Zealand, and we're also number one on the least corrupt countries in the world, or perceived least corrupt countries in the world list by Amnesty International, Transparency International, whatever it is, Amnesty International. But it seems that not only is the court system corrupt, but all the people that are supposed to be looking after the corruption and actually investigating it and preventing it, etc., are also corrupt, right? And in fact, so corrupt that you could have Transparency International investigate New Zealand, have more corruption than they've ever seen in their lifetime, and find none of it, because we're that good at concealing it from the international community. I mean, what's our biggest income in this country is tourism, right? And I'm sure everybody's seen a commercial or two, 100% pure New Zealand or something like that, 100% you don't have human rights, 100% we drop 1080 poison in our rivers, 100% cows are allowed to shit in the rivers. You know, just the whole concept of putting poo in your drinking water, it's perfectly okay by New Zealand drinking water standards. You know, we're just like, that's all right. You can swim in it. You can drink. Oh, you gargle it if you want. It'll be nice, bro. It's 100% pure. All right? 100% pure. With phosphate fertilizer that they put on all the paddocks as well. Right? The whole country is a freaking charade. We're the holiday destination where they eat the tourists, you know, like if New Zealand was a horror movie, that's what we'd be. We'd be the wonderful resort holiday destination where everybody comes to invest their money and then they get eaten by the vicious, vicious cannibals within.
Well, that's the reason why I contacted some financial rating services, including the Fitch, Moody's, and also Standard Poor's. Ask them to review their ratings on New Zealand, because it's a dangerous place to invest, and even dangerous place for the people like me living here in New Zealand. I'm not citizen of New Zealand. So the foreign reason and investment from the international community in New Zealand is at risk, because there's no protection whatsoever in the court. So the that can be bad for the New Zealand economy too, because the economy to grow, you need to have a sound legal basis. So there could be an investment of property protected, so the firm can employ people, invest on the equipment, technology. All those things get taken away by the organized crime. And how can even people in New Zealand want to invest in a business? Because even the overseas people wouldn't know what's going on, so they might simply lose the money in New Zealand by the organized crime. So if the governments want to really develop the business in New Zealand, what should happen is to make sure the justice system works correctly. Rights are protected, so the people are confident. Now the people are so scared, they have to spend all their life talking with other people, make sure you're not going to be the victim next time. So that's going to take a lot of time. That's going to take a lot of effort to make the connections. But then that effort can be used for the other better things, developing new business or even go to vacation. Because of the fears, people are here are absolutely suffocated. Nothing can happen in New Zealand as long as the people are feared constantly. This is a problem in New Zealand. It's not North Korea I'm talking about. It's New Zealand. It's supposed to be one of the most freest country in the world. This is a real situation.
Yep, and it's interesting that you say that, though, because if the sound financial basis of a country is actually a sound legal system by which justice can be equally dispensed, then we've got an economic crash ahead of us if this information comes out, isn't it? I mean, think about it. What if international news, you know, just imagine, you know, this will never happen, but... But imagine, you know, big headlines in the papers, New Zealand legal system declared completely corrupt and incompetent, major restructure, everything like that. What's going to happen to the New Zealand stock market, the NZX? And then everybody who's got shares in New Zealand and all of that kind of thing is either going to freak out and so on and so forth. Or at least that's the big fear that will be hyped up in people who don't want to have this investigated. Like, I think it might have been in 2015 or 2014, I forget, Vince Seymour was talking about the corruption in the New Zealand courts, and to John Key, the Prime Minister at the time, asking him to have some kind of investigation for it. And he says, no, I'm just going to focus on the economy, because if you start investigating the courts, it'll undermine confidence in the justice system, which would affect the economy, right? So is there a economic impetus to keep the corruption under wraps? How much of our current cash flow is actually involved and invested and dependent upon the current corruption?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, corruption in the court is in the public notice, because I sent to everywhere. How many people know about it? Lots of people, United States, United Kingdom, New Zealand. So it's out in the public notice. Main media may not report it, but certainly it's... You cannot stop the information from the internet, so it's all over. So now, the question is here, whether the government do nothing, or the government's going to just make sure we're going to regulate the legal profession court. So all your rights, property, everything is protected as it should. That's the direction that New Zealand has to go. It's open. Forgery has been accepted. Court to prop. Now the government needs to step in to regulate it. Ask the judge, your name's in use for the fraud. What do you think about it? If the judge says, fine, my name's in use for the fraud, that's fine, then you need to go. That's the bottom line.
Okay, well, do you have names of actual judges that you're allowed to reveal?
Sure. Well, I can give you lots of them. High Court, the judges, judges' names are used as Dobson, Justice Dobson, Justice Collins, also the Justice Clifford, and the Justice Davidson, and Associate Judge Osborne, Associate Judge Matthews, and the Court of Appeals, Justice O'Regan, he's not Supreme Court now, also the Grace Brooks, Justice Grace Brooks Supreme Court, her name is used. Also the Justice William Young in the Supreme Court, his name is used for the floor too. And therefore the Court of Appeal, Justice White, Justice Weil, and the Court, Justice France. Also the her husband, High Court Judge, Justice France, I think his name, is also using the floor too. So there are, I mean, the criminal simply just pick a name. There's no logic there.
Well, I was thinking about this when they built the Supreme Court building in New Zealand. It was like $8 million building or something like that to house 8 judges or even less. It was just, for me, the scariest thing about it was that we used to have this thing in New Zealand before the Supreme Court called the Privy Council, whereby if you didn't get justice in New Zealand, you could actually go to England and put your case there before the Privy Council. And that got eradicated as soon as this new Supreme Court came in. So now you've got 8 judges at the top, 2 of which are a husband and wife, and with proven forgeries on their names and a really bad track record for violating the law, right? And you're like, oh, okay, so this is now the highest court in the land. If you can't get justice there, you can't get justice at all. Okay, it sounds like a money-making scheme to me. If you get anybody off the street and charge them with something or fraud them or whatever, and if your goal is to get money, then these people might try to defend themselves, and they'll defend themselves with what money they have, and they'll throw it at you thinking that, you know, justice will be on their side. And before you know it, you're bankrupted, and the people that you've actually appointed to defend you against these characters are actually working for them the whole time and taking a bit on the side, right? That's a very, very efficient scam, methinks.
Right. That's correct. And it's New Zealand judiciary, the biggest money and the property grabbing scam in New Zealand. And as you said, inter-work network, court officials and the lawyers and all the people working together steal as much as possible from you. Could be the money that you paid the lawyer, or the house that you live can be confiscated by the legal means, or even the lawyer that you are supposed to be fighting even ask you to pay for it. Why do you have to pay for the lawyer that you are going against? Because they can simply go say another document says, you know, I got court order. Who gave the court order? No judge. Simply go to the court official, simply sign it, put the stamp on it, says, you know, hey, this is the order. They take that to another place, call the high court again. I don't know. They might even give the paper or not paper. Then governments go to grab the house and steal the money. Then government go to the bank and steal the money in the bank deposit. And it's all crime. That everybody knows it. But in New Zealand, those criminals can get away from everything. So the scam in the New Zealand justice system is an absolute mess. I mean, it's hidden. It may not be hidden. It's open. I don't know. Certainly quite efficient to steal anything. Lawyer come, people come. There's a nice house. They even send you a bogus claim against it. And then they go to high court to get a fake judgment, and the government can steal the house. That's as easy as it is. people go around, if you get the money in the bank, that's fine. I'm going to even give you bankruptcy notice, even pay me your money, or I'm going to take the money in the bank anyway. So if the money is in the bank, or if the house you own it, they can simply go after to steal it. And this is, and after all these theft and robbery has been confirmed by the government, government doesn't do anything. Police wouldn't do anything. Court ignores it. Justice ignores it. Then what you can do in New Zealand? That's the problem.
Well, I wonder if there's also, what kind of targeting mechanism do these people have? Are they looking for the vulnerable who have something that they can take? Is it a predatory thing like that? Are they looking for something that threatens their territory and want to take it out, you know? Somebody who challenges them or their authority and then use this weapon against them, essentially.
Yeah. I think they target somebody, challenge their church authority. If they go after them, they'll do everything to make you bankrupt, or put a false news in the media, or steal the money. Well, for my case, if I appeal the court, they take the money, so make sure I cannot even afford the filing fee. So the bankruptcy proceeding can take all the money, then if you want to appeal the fake bankruptcy, what you do? You're going to file to the higher court, but you don't have the money to file. You cannot. And I asked them, you got more than enough money to pay for everything. I want to use that money to hire a lawyer. They said no, because they know it's fake. So they make sure you cannot even go anywhere in the New Zealand, take the money, or even means to appeal the decision. And now, everything now is all fake. Are they going to jail? I mean, they are perverting because justice saw the money, all the fake things going to happen. Are they going to jail? New Zealand, they are protected. They are protected. Isn't that something that shouldn't happen? But it is. It's already confirmed by the government, Ministry of Justice Court. Those criminals are still there in New Zealand. And they might come after you if you live in New Zealand. And once you are caught in the scam, there's no escape in New Zealand unless we do something here.
Well, I'm starting to wonder now about the very super high suicide rate that we have in New Zealand. You know, what happens when you've got no hope, when all the people who are supposed to be taking care of you and administering justice are actually the ones that are running the asylum and so on and so forth? I don't know. Just thinking about all these onflow effects that it can have on an individual level, you know, how it affects your relationships even with other people and how it affects your everyday life and how you see the world, the intense trauma. And if that affects you, then it'll affect everybody that you come into contact with and so on and so forth. And in New Zealand, if we've got so many people getting shafted by these corrupt lawyers and dicey judges and so on and so forth, then we're actually looking at kind of a massive social disaster on an unprecedented level. I mean, think about all the social problems that we might be having in this country and this being a massive contributing factor to it.
Yeah, correct. I think suicide is part of the mental health problem, and the mental health problem exists because of uncertainty in society, uncertainty in social order, and that's created by the corruption in the government and creating corruption in the court, and the uncertainty disempower people. If you want to empower people, you need to give a certain certainty. So it has to be certain value, certain system, laws are observed, the courts operate as supposed to be, the governments respond to your concern. That's the certainty that people need to live in the country where you can be empowered. When all those things are not working properly, people disempower, disillusioned, and that creates a problem of the distrust. Once distrust might go to affect the mental health because people need to have people to live with it. So if you have distrust of other people or government, that's going to affect your mental health, and that affects your physical health too. I have a health disability myself because since being in New Zealand. And it goes to anxiety. And if you untreat it, it goes to a mental health problem, and it might go to lead to a suicide. And the suicide by yourself or suicide with others, that could be another problem too, because sometimes suicide, you go to pair or groups of people can suicide at the same time too. So social problem, as you said, is quite enormous unless we have to give certainty. Rule of law is one, integrity of courts one, police must investigate crime, and the government must be trusted. Government exists with a trust, with a confidence. Court is not even elected by anybody, not accountable public. Why they existed? We didn't even vote for the judge. And the judges, have you ever voted for any judges? No. So they don't have any mandate. They don't have any legitimacy. And now they say it's all secret, so it doesn't have the public scrutiny. What are they? They exist without any accountability, legitimacy, mandate. All they do is steal money and also taxpayers pay their tax. This is wrong. 100% wrong in New Zealand.
Yeah. And in New Zealand, the doctors work much the same way. They can get up to $100,000 in kickbacks per year from the pharmaceutical companies based upon what kind of drugs that they recommend that their patients take and things like this. And that's totally legal, right? And they're working for the public health service. Now, it seems that when the corporations and the state become the same thing, then where are the people left in there? I think we're just basically slaves then, aren't we? We're not the ones running the big corporations. We're not the ones running the government. We're the ones working in the dregs of society and just trying to get by, you know, churning the machine. The meat grinder that slowly grinds us all down.
That's correct. I think the problem now, especially in New Zealand, is that obviously special interests are very strong. Special interest to control the government and the judiciary out of control anyway. It's not part of anybody's oversight. They are on their own because who knows what they're doing anyway, because everything is secret. So all those secret judiciary is there without any control of us, and the government, they're supposed to safeguard us, are properly controlled by the special interest, maybe a corporation, could be that wealthy people. So what needs to happen in New Zealand, I think, is the civil society needs to be created around New Zealand. Make sure we, the ordinary people, have the power to make government, judiciary, judge accountable to the people. And the people are wise enough to know what's right, what's wrong. Because the people in New Zealand community has a good, solid value. Those in the lower village, they have the value within a village. They are not comparable with the people of New Zealand. So people of New Zealand said, nah, that's enough. We want accountable for the judiciary. We want to make sure the government is accountable to us. So civil society in New Zealand need to stand up, says, we want the power back. We allow you to govern us, but we saw the letting you govern us didn't do us any good. So we, the people in New Zealand, we are taking it back. And if you refuse it, you're going to be go, because we are the principal, you are the servant. That's the attitude that people in New Zealand should have.
That's a very interesting idea, because then when the media and the justice system and the government are not on your side, a detached civil society that's actually only really made up of citizens is your next natural go-to, right? You go to the people. But there's no actual official society like that in New Zealand. You can't just go to the people and have them hear you out and so on and so forth. But Tatsuhiko Koyama has been my guest for this hour. Thank you very much for coming on, sir. Now, also, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to realize that this is a, you know, this is a charitable show. We give the airtime to anybody who really needs it and anybody who's doing the right thing. And, we need your support to do it. We're trying to get over the $200 a month, mark on the Patreon there, which is currently like at 188 or something. So only $12 a month more we need to raise before we get over that target. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com and the Patreon, button there, and we'll see you after the break, folks. Thanks very much for listening.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes, I like very much
radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology. They have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. HempUSA.org introduces 3 brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at HempUSA.org.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park, and when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud, and it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride, and we kill those people. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us for free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, then?
Exposing commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does. Well, they never censor, hung up, or cut off their guests.
Well, that's not fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shows and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.